Good morning. Don't panic. We won't keep you long. That's good. So if you've got a Bible, grab it and flip it open to Exodus chapter 8. Does anybody know who Moses is? And it's not a joke question, because so many people grow up in their lives without knowing any of the Bible characters. Anybody know who Moses is? Everybody familiar with him? Right? Guy walks through the desert, meets a burning bush, talks to it. God speaks to him from it. Very, very weird thing that happened there. And he turns out to be God's representative. By the way, before I forget, it's great to hear answered prayer in Uganda. We also have answered prayer here. Bob Green, many of you know Bob Green, wanted everybody here to be thanked. And it's on the top of my notes, Bob Green, the next X next to it, to thank you all for praying for him. He's doing well, doing great, and wants more visitors. They actually have a prayer meeting in their house on a Thursday night at 7:30, which, coincidentally, is the same time that we pray here on a Thursday night. And so I said to them, well, why don't we just come down to your house one night and we'll bring food and pray together? So that would be a good thing. But you'll miss it if you don't come on a Thursday night. That's a hint. Okay? So Moses is God's representative, and he goes to a guy called Pharaoh. Any idea who Pharaoh might represent? God's representative is Moses. Pharaoh represent slavery. So who do you think in the Bible he might represent? Evil or begins with duh, ends with evil. The devil, right? So like the king of slavery is over here and God's representative is over here. And they have this conversation in Exodus chapter 8. Now it goes on for a few chapters. We're not going to deal with it all today because we can't, and there's no point because there's way too much information in it. But I want to just focus on one part of this conversation. Whenever you have God's representative talking to a representative of slavery, you have an absolute clash of kingdoms. One represents the kingdom of light and the kingdom of God. One represents the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of slavery. And they come together and they have this incredible conversation. Now, what happens is the God's representative, Moses, goes up to Pharaoh and he says this. This is what God has told us to do. Right? So God's very clearly told him how to act, how to live, and how to pursue God and how to worship God. And he says, I would really like it if you would let us do what God has asked us to do. Now, what do you think the king of slavery's answer would be to that? A jolly big no, right? Right? So he basically says, push off. You're not doing it. Push off. Get back to your slave camp and make bricks. Push off. I'm not going to give you what you want. So basically Moses says to him, okay, have four plagues. Dumps four plagues on him. And it ravages the nation. And then the slave master invites God's representative back to talk to him again. And they have a conversation. And the slave master starts to negotiate. Right? Because he knows he can't beat the kingdom of light. So he tries to negotiate with it. Now, whenever these conversations take place in the Bible, read them. Because if they're prepared to negotiate and give up something to keep me where I am, I do not want to make that deal. You understand that? If the kingdom of darkness, the king of slavery, is prepared to let me have something to keep me where I am, it's not a good deal. Do you understand that? So the king of slavery is about to negotiate. This is what he says. We're going to look at just two of the things he negotiates on. The rest of them we'll deal with another week. So what it says in verse 25 of verse 8, Pharaoh called Moses. So chapter 8 of Exodus. Verse 25, Pharaoh, the king of slavery, calls Moses and Aaron, God's representatives, and he says to them, all right, go ahead and offer sacrifices to God. Now, you'd think at that point they'd do the happy dance, right? We've got what we want. All right, go and sacrifice to God. Excellent, wonderful. But he doesn't end there. This is what he says. Go and sacrifice to your God. But stay here. Anybody see a contradiction in that? Go, but stay here. You can't do both, you dipstick. It's not physically possible to do both. You can't go and stay here. So he said, it sounds very righteous. It sounds good. It sounds liberating. But he says, go, but stay here. Matthew chapter, I wrote it down so I knew I'd forget. Chapter 6, verse 24 says this, you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve two. You're going to end up hating one and loving the other, or loving one and hating the other. You can't serve two. You can't do two things that are opposed to each other. You can't stay here and go. You can't do it. But see, it sounds so kind. Yeah, go. You go serve, but just stay here. Keep the status quo. Don't move. Don't ruffle any feathers. Do exactly what everybody else does. And if you want to attach a little bit of religiosity to it and a little Christian sticker and a bumper sticker or a T-shirt every now and again and a Who Would Jesus Date bracelet, you can do all that stuff if you want, but just stay exactly where you are. Don't move. Don't grow. Don't get closer to God. Stay where you are. And listen to me. Listen. If the king of slavery is happy with that deal, I'm not. You understand that? I'm not. Thank the Lord that Moses says, no. No, I'm not making that deal. He's not prepared to negotiate on this at all. I am not making that deal. So you flip down another verse. One verse is what Moses says. That won't be right. The Egyptians would detest the sacrifice that we offer. In other words, the way that we will act will be totally opposed to the surrounding society. We have to move. God's called us to make a 3-day journey into the wilderness to sacrifice to him. We have to move. We have to be mobile. Why? Because God is on the move. There's a song about that. So God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move every, and that's a weird old song. But God's on the move, and if he's moving and if I stay still, what happens? There's a gap that grows between me and my walk with God. I have to keep pace with him. I can't try and outrun him. I can't try to get too close. I've got to be respectful and stay and watch what God is doing and move where he is moving. But I can't do that if I'm nailed to the spot and told that I cannot grow and can't move. So Moses says, no, we can't do that. Absolutely not. We're not going to do that. And then he says this. So we must take a 3-day trip, told you, into the wilderness to sacrifice offerings to our God. Verse 28. We're going to end with this one, so don't panic. Verse 28. This is what the king of slavery says to the representative of God. Listen to this. All right, go ahead. Happy dance. We've got what we want. Go ahead, make a three-day journey into the wilderness. Okay, go ahead. Go into the wilderness and offer sacrifices to the Lord your God. What does it say in your Bible next? But. But. There's a but. And what does it say after that? Don't go too far. Don't go too far. Really? Don't go too far. We don't mind you being quietly Christian. We don't mind you having your little chapel on the hill. We may not enjoy the fact that you've cut some trees down in front of it to make it more visible, but we can live with that. But just don't take it too far. Don't take it too... March 20th, the year 2000, the first paper was published in North America that designated 63 genders. 63 genders for human beings. But don't take your Christianity too far. And we sat down and we did nothing. 63 gender designations. That was the first one. It's nearly over 200 now. But don't take Christianity too far. There are approximately today, right now, today, as we sit in this building, there are approximately 70,000 girls under the age of 12 in India who are forcibly in the sex trade. While we sit in this building, while we sing our songs and hear the wonderful stories from Uganda, but don't go too far. Don't go too far with it. Like, don't dare try and affect the planet. Don't keep your Christianity in a build. Don't go too far. Don't possibly when in, and you think, well, okay, well that's India. In Toronto, in the one of the universities there, which will remain nameless, the Canadian Mental Health Organization has a doctor right now in Toronto who is campaigning to have pedophilia removed as a disorder in our nation, so that pedophilia is no longer a disorder but is actually a preference. And they're actually campaigning right now in our nation for that to be removed from the DMS, the DSM, the Diagnostic Scientific Manual, as a disorder, and have it placed there as a preference. The next step after that will be legalization. But don't go too far. Don't go too far with what we believe. Don't go too far. Now, I don't, when I read things like that, and these are not made up facts, they're not internet, this is carefully researched stuff, because I don't like the inflammatory. So I researched this stuff carefully, and if you want the facts and figures and where to find it, I can point you in the right direction. And when I read that, don't go too far. When I hear about girls lying in ditches in Uganda, when I hear about people cooking over little stoves, when I hear about a guy having 50 orphans in his house, when I hear about all that, and I read these words, don't go too far, it challenges me. And I don't know what going too far means for you. Like, I really don't. I'm not talking about radicalization and fanaticism. I'm really not. Maybe it means that you carry a Church Pemberton card. Pemberton Community Church card, and when you're sitting down chatting to somebody, or you're at Grimm's, or you're having your gas filled up, or you're at work, that you just write the time of the service on the back and just give it to somebody. Say, hey, here's your personal invite to church. Maybe that's too far. Maybe you pray out loud in the restaurant. Maybe you phone a friend. Maybe you text somebody. Maybe you say bless you to the person who's, maybe at Christmas you dare to say Happy Christmas instead of Happy Holidays. I don't know what too far means to you. But I know this, that too far for me begins when I ask God what he wants me to do in my nation. Too far for me begins when I ask him what his plan is. You understand? Too far for me starts when I refuse to be negotiated out of the position that God has put us in on planet Earth, where we represent the kingdom of light. Too far for you might be turning up at a thirsty prayer meeting. Seven, hey, be a Christian, but why pray about it? It's okay to have a Bible next to your bed, but don't open it and read it. Don't try to interact with it in the 21st century in Pemberton. Like, maybe going too far for you is opening your Bible, reading it, and say, okay, God, how does that apply to me today? My encouragement to you is this. Don't let society tell us to not go too far with believing what we believe in this book. Because the king of slavery was prepared to let people worship as long as they didn't go too far. So I know that's a bad deal. It's a bad deal. Because it keeps me a slave. and stops me from being free in God. And that's not the deal that I got saved on. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. I want the freedom that Jesus bought on the cross at Calvary. And if it means that every now and again I have to feel uncomfortable when I tell somebody what I do. We were up at the lake the other day, me and my missus, and there's a guy out there fishing, wasn't catching anything. Probably fishing the wrong side. And he wasn't catching it. And he said, what do you do up here? And exactly the same as everybody else. My heart, my mouth goes dry, and I think, well, I'm the interim pastor at the church on the hill. Oh, okay. But like my mouth dries up. Going too far for me is just telling people what I do. We all have to face the challenge of going too far. So stand with me if you will. And we're going to pray. Going too far for some of you may be going and buying a no-brainer food card and having money donated to Young Life. It might mean that some of you go off to Uganda to pray. It may mean that you save the money on an air ticket going to Uganda and help with Red Soul Rising. Now, there's a thought. How about that? How would I let my Christianity go too far and help clean up camp for a day? Well, it's inconvenient, then go too far and inconvenience yourself for the kingdom of God. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we stand in front of you, a people who are challenged by the society that we live in. As men here standing on Father's Day, we ask you to help us to do the manly thing, to stand up for what is right and what is good and what is proper and what is just and what is holy, righteous, and true. For your kingdom. Father, help us as men to lead our households to do that. As women in this room, we pray, Father, that you bless the ladies that are in this room. Help them to make an incredible difference for your kingdom in every area that they touch. We pray, Father, that this challenge of maybe it's time for somebody somewhere to go too far, to right the imbalances in our society. Help us, Father, to figure out what that is. Help us to do it responsibly. Help us to seek your grace and your favor and your mercy. Cover us with your Holy Spirit's anointing. And whatever that means for each of us, Father, we pray that you give us the guts and the courage to do it. And pray that we never negotiate with the king of slavery. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If there's somebody you need to phone or text or write to, please do it, right? It's a good thing to do.